pause it.
We're recording this.
Acts chapter 4. The first thing that we want to be praying about is that we will give special contribution as a family and not as individuals. What I mean by that is as a church family and not as individuals in the church. Obviously, one of the things that we've been speaking a lot about over the last couple of months, and I know some of those numbers have changed. I don't know what the numbers are, what have you, but I know that prior in the year, only 40% of the congregation was giving on a monthly basis, 30% of the congregation was giving haphazardly, and 30% of the congregation was not giving at all. That's not family giving. Okay, so the first thing that we want to pray about is that we will give as a family. So it will not be just certain families in the congregation or certain individuals in the congregation, but that everyone will give. I think a great scripture that had that spur or embodies that spur is in Acts chapter 4, where it says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything that they had. Now obviously their setting back then was people moved from all over the world to Jerusalem. For the Passover, the Holy Spirit got poured out, God's first century church began. These people were not able to move back or what have you. They wanted to stay with the church. Financially, they had challenges, and their financial need at that time was to be able to spread the funds amongst everyone so that everyone would have a place to stay and what have you. Our scenario, obviously, is a little bit different today. We actually all live in Cape Town, and our needs are different. But again, the spirit of the congregation was what the need was at that moment is what they all chipped in for. To be able to say, this is what we want to do as a family. This is important for us. The family is important for us. The dream of the family is important for us. The mission of the family is important for us. And all the believers were together. So can we take out the next 5 minutes just to pray for that in small groups? That we will be able to do this as a family. And that if people in the family currently are resistant, what have you, that God will help them work it out, or that they would be able to be open and talk about it and resolve things if they need to be resolved, or maybe confess if there's been selfishness or self-focusedness or just own needs being met and not looking at the needs of God's greater kingdom. But they will be able to pray about those things for God to work in those areas. So why don't we take out 5 minutes? We're literally going to have just about 5 minutes because there's four sessions. But why don't you hook up with someone, grab a corner somewhere if you like, and let's pray together. I can pray for a campus minister.
Come on.
Several of them, actually. But let's go this year. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 19, Paul says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. Listen to this. I have no one else like him who takes a generous interest in your welfare. For everyone looks at their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. A couple of things we learn here. Timothy was an exceptional man. It says, there is no one else. Now, Paul had a lot of companions around him, a lot of great evangelists. And yet he said, there was no one else like him who takes a generous interest in your welfare, the church in Philippi. He has proved himself as a minister to do the work, and he has served with me. In other words, I've walked with him and I've trained him. We need more Timothys in our congregation. And every time that you'll see, as Timothys get baptized, where God has given them maybe a different set skill and a different gift set or an extra level of passion or whatever, you'll usually see that there are lots of people getting baptized around them. It's usually the way that it works. That the rest of us, we do our best, and then you'll see a Timothy come along and God really worked through him. God just designs it that way. What we have historically learned is that currently about 80% of our ministry staff through Southern Africa were converted on campus. Okay? My wife was converted on campus. James was converted on campus. Jock was converted on campus. Alicia was converted on campus. I was converted a week before I went to campus. But basically, our ministry staff here, practically everyone was converted as campus students. Doesn't mean it's the only way. But if you're looking for, in all honesty, a pool of talented and gifted people, I was saying to someone recently, I said, I don't know if people are aware of this, but Microsoft and Google, go and stand at the staircases of universities, waiting for the talent to walk down the stairs, and they evangelize them like madmen. Because they know that the team with the best players on the field and their industry wins the game. Now, listen, God is an outsider and He can work with ordinary men. But He also picked different people like Paul. Don't tell me Paul was an ordinary dude. There's nothing ordinary about that guy. I mean, the man is almost a freak. I mean, you cannot even imagine it. And yet God, you work through him and planted churches all over the world. Timothy is exceptional. Now, God also works through the ordinary. He worked through tons of ordinary people. But we need more Timothys. We're a little bit short on the Timothy side. In the United States, these guys have several Timothys. And they're willing to prayerfully share these Timothys. And these are young people that are maybe 20 years old, but have walked with campus ministers for 2 years, learning how to study the Bible with people, learning how to reach out to people. If we had that locally, if we had those Timothys locally, we would hire them. But we don't have them. And it's not necessarily a heart issue. It is an issue of gift set that God gives different people. We have an opportunity prayerfully, and I'm still working the phones for those opportunities. But the idea is we want to be able to, as many as we can, but prayerfully a man and a woman, get them to move here for a year. And get them to fly down here and just pay them enough to keep them alive. So we'll put something on their wrist or something to see if it looks like they're going to die of hunger, we give them some more money. Okay? Not exactly that. But my point is we want them to also experience the mission field in a different way than the United States. It's a sacrifice for them as well. I know that the guys in Joburg shared with me that, and this is actually recorded, but I hope the people don't listen to it there. But the people that they have there, for instance, that are serving the ministry now, did not go into the corporate field. And if they did, they would be earning between $120,000 and $160,000 US dollars a year. Those were the salaries offered. This sister sold her car to fly here and serve and be in the ministry here for a year and be paid living cost. Do you guys get what I say with Timothy? Timothy. Okay? We want to pray for that. Pray that we'll be able to find and track down people like that and that we'll be able to afford to bring them down here. Amen. We only have a couple of minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. This is our last leg here. Is this helpful to you guys? The last leg here is for us to be able, our hope obviously is to be able to organize an international speaker in alignment with a conference that's also timely for us. And then a big thing is to be able to get other churches from in our fellowship in Southern Africa to come down here. The scripture that came to mind for me on this was in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 13. James, I think, touched on this on Sunday, said, our desire is not that others, and he's talking about a collection here and sharing with the church about the collection and calling them to give. And he says, verse 13, our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality, as it is written. He has gathered much, did not have too much, and he who gathers little, did not have too little. Paul is saying to the church, listen, this church is in need, and he says, you guys currently have a lot more than what it is that they have. They have less. And what we want to do is be able to bring equilibrium to the matter by being able to take of the plenty that God has blessed us with and giving to others. Now, how many of us have traveled in outside of South Africa, in Southern Africa, at least? Okay, a number of us. Okay, so a number of us would know the deal. In Malawi, we used to shepherd the Malawi church. In Malawi, they're the fourth poorest country in the world. In Malawi, a housekeeper, someone that cleans in a house, works Monday to Saturday from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. for 100 rand a month. For 100 rand a month. Okay? A little bit less than what we earn, hey? And I asked the guys, geez, so, I mean, professionals, some time ago, a doctor, a GP would earn 2,000 rand a month. I was like, how do you guys afford things? I mean, how do you buy, like, Prenutro? And I said, we don't. Okay, sorry for asking that. I mean, it is really, people are poor. Now, they're not complaining at all. But what it does do, though, is that they miss certain opportunities that we have. Full-time ministers, speakers that are more experienced coming in and speaking in their cities or having their leaders come somewhere. For them, I don't think people have an idea what things cost. For us, a Malawi, where's James? One Malawi flight, it's 5 grand, eh? 5 grand. If we bring them by bus, it's cheaper, but it takes 3 or 4 days to get to Joburg. The guys can't take that much leave. They'll take their yearly leave to be here for 3 days. It is 5 grand for one ticket to get to Malawi. Put that in the cash flow of people that earn between 100 rand and 2,000 rand a month. Obviously, we know the Harare scenario. We spent time with a lot of brothers there. These guys, they didn't earn, they quit their jobs because they didn't earn enough money at work to pay for the transport to work. So it will cost you more to get to work than what you earn at work. And so therefore, they rather don't work. Okay? People would buy bread, and now it's gotten a lot better over the last couple of months, but that you go with a wheelbarrow full of cash to buy bread. Okay, it's crazy. Now, I think, who of us, without hearing that, who of us feel like we're a little bit tight financially? Without hearing that, I maybe should have asked it beforehand. Okay, I feel like I'm a little bit tight. Okay, so I feel even thin. Now, how thin do you feel compared to that? Okay, fat. So again, this is opportunity, and we try to figure out how can we help the best way. Now, again, when people come here, we can do things like give them books, DPI books, spiritual books, whatever we can give things. But this was a way that we could feed their soul. There's no better thing that you can do than feed their soul. These guys are not complaining. That's their life. And they're used to it, and they're happy with it, and we're trying to help in other ways that we can. But again, can you guys see the opportunity? Opportunity to be able to give. So let's take out just a couple of minutes, maybe just a minute each, and let's have a prayer for that. Amen. I'm in 30 seconds. This is like speed dating, speed prayer. Amen, everybody. Amen. Well, guys, I don't know about you. We've certainly had a superb time here in our group. And I feel very humbled in many ways. I do want to ask us, we can email out these scriptures, if you like, or these points. We can send it out in our email just to be able to pray for and continue to pray for. But here's what I want to leave us with. Is that each of us will apply thought to the matter. That we will go back to the drawing board. Giving or not giving. If we've given or not given yet. And going to take a look at, is this it? what I mean is, I'm not talking about making financially irresponsible decisions. I don't think God calls us to do that at all. I'm not talking about going in debt. But I remember as I became a Christian, how people would sell cars to be able to give special towards special contribution. How people would sell TVs. How people would go the extra mile. They would do anything. We had people, poorer members, in the foyer selling popcorn and bags of it to be able to give. And you know what? Every time I've spoken to people in the United States giving towards our missions contribution that goes towards Southern Africa, they always say to me, you know what, it is nothing. It does more for us than what it does for you. And the lessons that I've learned from giving is it does more for me than what it does for the church. It does more for me than what it does for these different scenarios because I don't want to be attached to money. And I don't want to live for here and now. And there is nothing that has a tighter hold on the here and now than our wallets. And you cannot deny it. It is fascinating. We will say, take my time. I'll come to midweek, I'll come to Sunday, I'll come to small group, I'll be involved in Bible study, I'm going to share my faith. Take my talent. I will sing. I will usher. I will teach in the kids zone. But leave my money. Don't make me feel guilty. Don't ask specific questions. I've said this before. I can ask you anything. I'm sure I can go up to a brother here and say, how's it going with your purity? Now, if I don't know him well, it might be a little bit awkward, but he'll most probably tell me what it is. But if I say, how's it going with your giving? I just want to know percentage-wise. How do you give? Are you making that four times? Man, let me tell you, it's not going to go well. And that's wrong. Because I didn't get baptized with my wallet outside of the baptism waters. And I can't carry my wallet into eternity. Now, we need to be wise and we need to be responsible. But I do want to ask you and implore you, check your heart. Pray about it. Talk to your spouse if you're married. Talk to your small group. Talk to someone who will be honest with you. But let's talk about it. Let's pray about it. Let's go to the drawing board. And let us give not only this time, but let us continue to become givers as a church as we live into eternity. Let's close out with a word of prayer. And I think I'm just looking forward to see what God is going to be doing with special contribution. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for the, first of all, the grace that we have in being disciples. Earlier on, I was praying with the brothers, but I practically pray this every morning and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you that I can be a Christian. Thank you that Lisa reached out to me. Thank you that there was a church to go to. Thank you for people that studied the Bible with me. Thank you that you did not only save me at that moment from my sin, but that you continue to save me every single day, Father, as long as I remain a part of your family. I'm safe, spiritually, as people fend for me, as people help me. I pray that we'll have in mind these things, that we'll have in mind what it is that you do for us spiritually, we'll have in mind what counts and what goes on to eternity. I pray that we'll take a look at what is luxury and what is necessity, and how we can give. Give now, but next month, and next year, and next year's special contribution, and that we'll make sure that we channel our resources into eternity, while we're responsible, Father, in managing what you've given us. We love you. We pray in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, everybody. I know that was sort of a speed race, but thank you for bearing with us. Thank you for the prayers, and let's please continue to pray. Amen.